Lord, you are so magnificent, and we just are beyond, Lord, beyond all understanding. We desire the greater depth of the fullness of Christ. And what I mean by that, Lord, in talking with you, we have no clue what this year brings. We have no clue what tomorrow brings. But you have it all well in hand. And we trust you. And what we want is to obey you and to honor you and to be magnifying to you in every aspect, every detail of the life that you have given us. And that's what it amounts to, Lord. Too many times people are thinking in terms of it's my life and it's I can do what I want. But it's the life that you have given, and it's your plans. It's what you want. It's your heart's desire to be fulfilled in it. So as we go forward, as we seek to be your disciples, Lord, there is a commitment that is required and fundamental. And that's what we're learning. We didn't, Lord, we were without any idea of what was involved. We've had wonderful teachers, Lord, and what they've gone through, we didn't know. And how much work you've invested in them and through them into us. And then it's through us unto others, always pointing to you, always expressing you, always sharing the fullness of who you are. Lord, we pray that there will be that dedication, that consecration unto you is as each day unfolds, seeking your will to your honor and your praise. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Again, as we declare the Shema together, we've come out of a holiday season where there have been a lot of things that have taken place, a lot of interaction with family, with friends. And, the way, it was expressed tonight, getting back to normal, whatever normal is. But we want to take the time to recognize that declaring the Shema with all of our heart and all of our being means that we have to set aside emotions and those thoughts which are on our hearts now that direct us away from who Jesus is. And fully into the commitment of what he would have and how our lives are to be honoring to him. We need to lay all everything before the Lord and prepare our hearts, asking him to prepare our hearts for that which is in his plan and purpose. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Eloheika, Ve'ekol Levavcha, Uvekol Nashefcha, Uvekol Noldecha, Ve'ahavta Racha Kamocha. Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Amen. Okay. Is there someone that would like to read the introduction? We are on Rabbi. It's season 3, and we're in episode 9, The Rabbi.
Perhaps you're familiar with the Angel Studios production, The Chosen, a multi-season retelling of Jesus' ministry and how his disciples experienced it. Early in the first season, a handful of disciples joined Jesus at the wedding in Cana. Sitting on their own at a table, the group shares their thoughts about what it will be like to follow Jesus, including whether they would fail horribly and if they would even survive. In this scene, Peter makes an insightful observation. My brother, Andrew, has many worries. I keep reminding him of when our Abba taught us how to fish. We just sat there and watched until we became fishermen. The Chosen is, of course, simply a creative retelling of stories from the four Gospels. It's not scripture, and it should not be relied upon as such. But Peter's statement in the scene is not only a fascinating explanation of how discipleship apparently worked, it's also a helpful insight into the job of a rabbi in Jesus' day. A rabbi was meant to be a living example, someone his audience and disciples could observe and learn to imitate. He was the fisherman who would help raise up fishers of men. We have spent the last few episodes looking at the context of Jesus's setting, learning how his original Jewish audience lived and how the text was such a central part of everyday life. Today, we will continue our exploration of Jesus and his world by considering the origin and role of the rabbi in his culture and what that means for us as his followers today.
Thank you very much. Just as Peter and Andrew learned to fish by watching their father do it, disciples of Jesus learned how to live out the mission by doing the same. What does it look like to watch Jesus in our context today? So thinking about it, you know, what does it look like? I'll start it off with a passage that is an important one, okay? A very important one that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians. It's Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. That is the rabbi. He is our rabbi, and we are to keep our eyes on him and how he gave of himself as that offering and sacrifice as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness, silly talk, or coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And that is the whole focus of what discipleship that we've been studying. That's the whole focus of why we study scripture to begin with, every one of our Bible studies. For as long as you have been studying the Bible, even whether it was within the Lutheran, the Catholic, the Assembly of God, you know, it's been searching out and seeking that which God would have for us. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they're exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. You know, this, getting back to this discussion, this question, you know, what does it look like to watch Jesus in our context today? And having shared that passage of scripture, is there anything that stands out? Is there anything that comes to mind in your hearts?
Being an imitator of Christ and his actions.
That is the role of the rabbi is to model, and that means we imitate what he models. Absolutely. Anyone else?
I'm probably looking at it too literally, but just when I read the question about what it looks like to watch Jesus in our context today, I just thought I think that's reading the Bible and understanding what the Bible says, and maybe even understanding like what the con you know what it was like in the time when Jesus walked on earth, like understanding that more all allows me to quote unquote watch Jesus so that then I can be an imitator.
Absolutely. And it does require reading the scripture, and it does require that study. And that's one of the reasons we're doing this, because we are getting that context of when Jesus, you know, when the Bible was written, how it was written, for whom it was written, and how it still is so applicable today. Absolutely. Anyone else?
Well, the epistles talk about this mostly, but, you know, we're supposed to pick our mentors. It talks about the elderly women setting an example for the younger women in the church. And we as men are supposed to have mentors that we look up to, and we don't follow everything they do and imitate everything they do, but we imitate the godly part of those mentors.
And we should also, there's another aspect to that, which is very valid. As we have mentors, we are to be mentors to others, to the younger ones, and to share that which we have learned through our mentors. Because there's a connectedness. We are together in this, and we have that, and there is that place, absolutely. Brilliant answers tonight. Of course, there usually are with this group. Any other Anything else that comes to mind before we get into this?
Billy Graham said, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. And that's the same as we represent an invisible God. So the world sees our actions. And so when I think of Jesus and what he looks like, I see forgiveness, sacrifice, service, love, compassion, these different attributes that Jesus has that we get to show to our neighbor, or to our family or loved ones, even to strangers. So that's how we are the image of that invisible, and the responsibility of not tarnishing that image either.
That's right, because as you mentioned, we are the representation. The world is watching us to see who God is. And they are so adept at when there's a mistake made, they jump on that. And so there is that responsibility that we have to be the appropriate and the accurate witnesses of God. No, we're not going to be perfect. We do make mistakes, and that's where that forgiveness and compassion comes in, absolutely. But we are, the world is seeing who God is through us, and as we represent Christ, the Christ who personally called each one of us. And I don't know if you've taken that to heart, but he personally called you as he called me unto himself in the saving grace and mercy and love of God. And we are to be, as that relationship with him grows, that's what should be seen by others, who Jesus is. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else before we?
Yeah, I just think it's so beautiful that the Jews had the law. That was their way. The laws and the sacrifice were their way of getting in touch with God. And now for us, we have the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit to teach us, to witness to us, to witness to His word in our hearts. We read the word and we have that reaction in our hearts. It comes from His Spirit revealing us it to us and leading us into all truth. So
Amen.
we have such a strong responsibility to carry that word into the world.
And that is our responsibility. And you mentioned a strong responsibility. You have no clue what you've just opened the door to tonight in this. Okay, so that's a great segue into our video this evening. And as we do so, the very words of God. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. John 3:36. And with that, Lord willing.
Scroll, the text, the Torah, is God's revelation, His very words. What God desires of people when they receive that word is Shema. Listen, do it, practice it, believe it. But that wasn't so easy because, as all of us know who've read the Bible, when you hear the Word of God, it isn't always clear what it means or what it's telling me to do. How many of us have been perplexed trying to figure out what on earth is that telling me to do or to think. So a rabbi's job is to be our interpreter. And as our interpreter, to put into practice what the scripture says. The idea of rabbi began during the captivity of Israel in Babylon. Their temple is gone, their worship is gone, their sacrifice is gone, and more than a million of them had lost their lives. While they were in Babylon, they decided to respond to change things. So they began to study this Torah that they had largely ignored. A class of teachers began to evolve that would become the rabbis of Judaism. Rabbis were not formally called rabbi until long after Jesus had gone back to heaven. In Jesus' day, rabbi was simply the word for an honored teacher. Rabbi in Judaism wasn't being used to describe teachers generically, but was increasingly being used to describe teachers of the scripture. So the role of a rabbi is to interpret this sacred book, which, as we've noted, was so central to life in the Galilee area. So we start with God. God spoke, or God revealed in some way to authors, and they wrote it. First it was oral, probably, and then it was written. God revealed himself because he was looking for partners, a community of people, a partner, who would help him in this amazing story of bringing shalom to chaos. And what he's looking for is Shema. What does Shema mean? One is to hear, to listen. Two, you need to believe it. And last, you need to obey it. God is looking for people for whom this becomes a lifestyle, a Shema lifestyle. I think sometimes we think believing in Jesus is what God wants. And anything else is sort of happy, makes God happy, but it's like gravy. You add it if you want. Let me show you something. Turn to John 3, verse 36.
Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life.
So if you believe, you're saved. If you reject, or in my NIV, not believe, you aren't. But without undermining your faith in your Bible that you have in front of you, that is not a literal translation, unfortunately. If you look, for example, in the ESV, instead of believe, the word in the ESV is obey. We tend to say, all you have to do is believe and then be saved. But notice, Jesus makes parallel believing and obeying. In his mind, they're not two different things, but one and the same. Or another way to say it, obeying is the evidence of faith. I had a rabbi say, if you look at your life and you see no passion for obeying what God has revealed in the text, no Shema, then you really can't say you've heard, or you've believed, or you obey. So they said, well, notice what happened. When God spoke this word first, when we were slaves in Egypt, there are stories before that, but that's the first audience. He had a guy who showed us what it meant and told us how to live it. He was our first teacher. His name was Moses, and he was brilliant. Not only that, he was close to God, so God's spirit guided him not only to write some of this,
or to pass it on orally, but to understand it and give him the prophetic skills to say, hey, Israel, this is what God said. This is what he wants you to believe. And this is what it looks like when you do it. So Moses is the model of how to get from here to here. But then Moses did what every human being in the ancient world did. He died. So now what? Well, Joshua's here. But they believed that God raised up a class of people to replace Moses called rabbi. In their day, honored teachers, like Joshua. And those teachers would say, this says this. In the beginning, God created. What he wants you to believe is that he brought shalom out of chaos. What he wants you to do is to address chaos and bring shalom. So the job of a rabbi was to interpret that so we would know how to do this. But hear where this is going, because who's going to be the ultimate rabbi? Jesus. Then Jesus not only came to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin and mine, if you believe in him, he did that. That's central. But having done that, Jesus came to say, this is what God wants from you, just as much today as 2,500 years ago when it was written. And you want to know what that looks like? I'll be your rabbi. This is what you should hear. This is what you should believe. And this is what you should do. And those things will be expressions of your belief in me. Which means if I'm a follower of Jesus as my rabbi, I need to spend serious time every single day hearing him teach. So that I not only understand what this says and what to do, but I understand how he interpreted it so that if there's a verse he didn't comment on, I have an idea of how he would interpret that verse. Does that make sense? I think we Christians are wimps. We want to believe in Jesus. You got your ticket. You're in, and the rest of it is be a nice person. Other people will like you. God will smile. And if you mess up, he'll forgive you anyway. True. That's not what God's after. I walked into the Jewish world, and it dawned on me, either Jesus as rabbi and me as disciple is totally different than his culture, or I have not even begun to be a disciple. I didn't have this passion to study or this passion to want to be like Jesus. Why would I need it? I'm saved. So they would begin to ask me, who's your rabbi? Jesus. Are you passionately trying to be like him? No. Then why do you call him rabbi? What good is it to have a rabbi if you don't listen, believe, and obey? And that hit me like a thunderbolt because I realized my faith was right here. I believed it all. I didn't understand it all, but I believed it, that it was true. But it had never gotten here. But if you start now with a passion to be like Jesus, all of life will become a small part of what does it mean to move from there to there. What God desires of people who read that word, or his people when they receive that word, is Shema. Shema means to listen with your ears, to accept with your heart, and then to act or obey what the word says. So the heartbeat of a rabbi is not only to tell us what God said, not only to tell us what that means and what God wants us to do because he said that, but the rabbi would say, let me show you what that looks like.
Okay. Like I said, Bonnie, you segued us in perfectly. Let's recap. Where, when, and why did the concept of rabbis begin to emerge among the Jewish people?
After Moses.
Okay. It was after Moses and those other teachers. It basically began when they were in exile and they were taken out of the promised land. They didn't have the temple anymore. They recognized that something had to change. They had lost that commitment, and so they wanted to know more about what God wanted from them. They wanted to know what the Torah was, which they had been neglecting. And so that's how the rabbis, the whole process became, started to develop in that sense. And what was the purpose of a rabbi?
Teaching the word.
He was to teach. He was someone who was knowledgeable about the Torah, the word, and could share that with people who had not hitherto for understood it or even paid much attention to it. And so this growing desire, based because of the fact they were in this exile situation and they realized that they had blown it, they wanted to know more about it. And eventually the role of the rabbi became what? RVL summed it up there at the end.
Leader of the synagogue?
No, it wasn't yet the leader of the synagogue. That
show you what it looks like.
Okay, so it was the person. You're right. It was the person that would teach, would interpret, and would model the scripture so that the people would understand how to obey God. So that was what the rabbis became. You know, they would teach, they would interpret, and they would model. Think about Jesus. What has he done? He taught, he explained, and he modeled. And he still does. Okay. So that's what the focus of a rabbi was to be. So that takes us then to question two. And what was the role of a rabbi in Jesus's day? And we talked about that a little bit. What similarities and differences see regarding modern day pastors or church leaders with the rabbi of Jesus's day? Or are there any?
Similarities that's teaching and interpreting the word, partially the Torah, but also the New Testament. So that's a difference, right? Because got that the early rabbis didn't have the New Testament.
No, they didn't. But that Jesus is the one who brought that in out of, and it still is all tied together because live the Torah. You know, he lived that law perfectly, and he gave that explanation. You know, I'm just piggybacking on you a little bit here. He gave the explanation, and he interpreted it in a way that is as accurate today as it was then. What Jesus told us to do, and how he told us to live, and how he told us to honor the Lord our God, is the same today as it was when he was teaching his disciples.
One big difference is that we now have the living word of God with us. And they did not know the Messiah until, and we have him.
Amen. That is absolutely. Okay.
Music too.
Any other ideas here? With this question too that you have in front of you.
Well, I was thinking sometimes through music and words, like some Christian songs or hymns or which are come from the Word of God, but I don't know, sometimes I don't know. I like to listen to music. I don't know.
Well, you, and that's just David wrote how many songs? You know, David wrote a lot, tons of worship songs that were up, that are, they still are uplifting. Okay. And many of those have been reworked today. And when the worship songs are about our God and that life that we are to live unto him and his being the focus of it, they're uplifting. You know, we're just thrilled to be able to sing those songs of joy and adoration and worship to God. Absolutely. But I would say that's more of a similarity, you know, bringing in David and songs, and, you know, we have those that write these wonderful songs of worship that lift up our spirits and cause us to praise him with every fiber and essence of our being. Great point. Any other things that you would want to bring out? Okay. All right. Well, then we'll go on to question number three. We're 2,000 years removed from the time when Jesus taught in Galilee, but our role as disciples is the same, to follow and imitate him as our rabbi. And I just stop there for a second. Because when we first started with this particular session, Laura and I were very, very much challenged by it, because we had never really, I don't know about you, but we had never really thought of Jesus in terms of being our rabbi in the sense that was brought out tonight. I think we were more set in the idea that RVL was mentioning, you know, as Christians, being, you know, we're saved, and now we just want to live that life that is, you know, that will bring, you know, that's a good life, and it shows that we're Christians. But the idea that we are called to be imitators, and it the word imitator for me, it just didn't ring as true. He is our rabbi. And if we are disciples, we are putting in every single thing that we are fully and wholeheartedly, forcefully, and without hesitation and with utmost dedication and consecration in study and in every expression of what we say and how we say it and everything. Every detail of our life is now fully that which is to be that expression of him as our rabbi. And that, the force of that, the force just hit us, and it has caused us to just cry out to God. You know, with that heart that we're sorry that we haven't been more unto him, even to this point in our lives. You know, we thought this is just a time of, I guess, confession. But, you know, we thought we were doing okay, that we were living the Christian life, that, you know, because we were, you know, we are Christians, and we do believe, and we want others to believe. But to be wholeheartedly the way that it is, that it's hitting us full in the face, was, it just has been there in our prayers and in our Bible study, in our, it's just a wholehearted rededication, that it, because I don't think I was that dedicated as is required. So, you know, the terminology is just, what I'm trying to express from my heart is this is so much more than we ever thought it was. And that the life that we're called to live as his disciples is so much more than we even consider to this point. And it's taking every, we had a discussion. I'll share this with you, because this is something that that Laura and I are dealing with, and it's a simple one. If this is just a simple thing, but it springs forth from this honoring God with every fiber of our being, with all our might, with all our strength, with all our mind. When RVL last, in the last session, said, we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, but we often sit when the word of God is spoken. That whole aspect. So we're, how do we do this? We don't want to become, and I don't want to put in any, you know, there are those religions where you stand and sit and stand and sit. We don't want to, we're not looking at that, but how can we not but stand when his word is read, spoken aloud, giving him all the reverence? It's not for you, and it's not for me, it's him. And it's because of who he is, and we are in his presence, and this is his word. So how can we not but stand when the word of God is spoken aloud? You know, so just, that's just one of the things that we've been, and, you know, that could be considered minor, but it's not a minor thing. So again, getting back to this, what does this look like to spend time with our rabbi today, both individually and in community? And what are those ways that we should imitate Jesus? So I'll lay that before you since I've been.
Well, I'll just mention two of the things that Jesus does that are important for us. He spent a lot of time in prayer. He went into the wilderness or whatever. You're often hearing about him almost praying all night and just spent a lot of time talking to his father. And I think we need to really spend time in prayer, not 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there, but time. And then the second thing he did is he visited and cared for the vulnerable, for the mumsers, for the people that were homeless, for the people that were ill with lots of different maladies, for the poor, and for what does that look like to us? Well, even people that don't have God's word in their language, there's people that are passionate about translating God's word into the languages of the world, so that people have their gospel. And there's people that are passionate about visiting people in prison or visiting the homeless or helping out with the addicted or helping out with whatever illnesses there are. And not just people in the world, but also, also our brethren, our each other, caring for each other as well.
Absolutely.
I so appreciate the Holy Spirit. And God knew that I would need him desperately to lead and guide me, to convict me when I step off the path. And
Amen.
so I, my desire is to come to know the Holy Spirit even more, and through him, know Christ even more.
Amen. And again, that goes to what Bonnie started, the Holy Spirit opening the living word, because the living word is Christ. It is Christ.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit shows us how Christ lived and how our rabbi, how he lived his life, how he dealt with those who were in need, the mumsers, as Kip mentioned, how he met those who were not the he and he met with the advantaged. I don't want to, but he was equally, he spent time with the advantaged, he spent time with the disadvantaged, those that the society had thrown away, weren't thrown away to him. He was there. And he made that provision. We go back to one of the first things that we saw, that RVL brought out, that the wedding, that first miracle that Jesus performed, where he allowed that mother, that the mother of the bride who had run out of the wine, and by that action kept that community from casting her aside, making fun of her. We didn't recognize that. This goes to what Ava was talking about, the context of how these things all came into being within the culture of his day, and it still is valid in our day. That respect for maintaining that respect for others and that compassion. He showed that compassion so that, oh, just thank you, Lord. Anyone else care to share on this? Before I... Well, I have another passage to end this question with as a consideration, and that's Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. So as those who have been, thank you, Lord, those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Rabbi, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. I think that it's spending time in the word, studying the word. It's time in prayer, because that's where you pray so much, is praying the word, that the Lord would open and work and reveal and manifest by his living word. And that's a full time of prayer and consecration unto the Lord. It's spending time with our rabbi in his word, in prayer, in fellowship, in singing those songs, in encouraging, in forgiving.
Ted, what was that last verse that you read?
Colossians 3, 12 through 17.
Because that answers the last question in my mind in that paragraph. What are some of the ways we should imitate Jesus?
Because that is who Jesus is and how he lived completely.
The address?
Colossians 3. 12 through 17. Okay, so do I have someone who would read to wrap it up for us tonight?
As we discussed early on in the season, Jesus came as the Messiah, the anointed king who would challenge the reign of chaos on earth and establish the kingdom of heaven. Yet, he chose to do it as a human being, still fully God, but in the form of a man, in order to be an example we could imitate. He was the king whose good news trumped Caesar's a million times over. He was the shepherd who ran ahead of his flock to lead them with 110% passion. He conducted his ministry as a Jewish rabbi, someone his disciples could follow and observe. As Peter's character explained in The Chosen, a disciple watches the rabbi until he or she learns to imitate him. And as we learned in today's episode, that's exactly what Jesus expects of his disciples. that we would not only observe and believe in his words, but actually live them out alongside him. Is that something we're willing to commit to? As we prepare for our final episode of season 3, take stock of the ways you have put Jesus's teachings into practice in your own life and the ways in which you haven't done so in your personal prayer time. Ask Jesus for the courage and the guts to imitate him as your rabbi. Let's move into our prayer time as we consider all we learned today.
Thank you. Lord, we do ask that we have the prots to imitate you as would be pleasing to you. Not our way, but your way. Holy leaning unto you. Holy Spirit, you're the one who guides. And as has been brought out by a number of people this evening, how precious it is and amazing that you open your word and you guide us and you direct us. And it's always to Jesus and that which is the truth and life. Lord, it's more than just we are seen. It's more than just being saved. It comes under that lordship of Jesus, where every aspect of our lives is yours, wholly and fully, and that we are honoring to you, Lord. And there's, Lord, please forgive as you do this work. Cover and keep as we make those mistakes, because our heart's desire is that you be honored and that we get out of the way.
Yes.
For you to do and to be seen, as was brought up, Lord. The world is looking at your people to see who you are. Let it be a pure and a true testimony of you, a witness of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of all heaven and earth. That is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.